Kath McAloon has all the big stories of this week in rural news. And Kath, a bit of a warning for those wanting to help out with drought aid.
A drought relief charity has apologised for sending bad hay to a Western Queensland property, which is believed to have caused the death of more than 30 sheep. This is really devastating news for the Dawson family of Upshot Station west of Longreach. They did have thousands of sheep and goats on their property, but they're down to just much lower numbers after several years of drought. And now they've lost 35 of their sheep after they ate bales of sorghum hay that had been donated by the buyer Bale charity. Some of the sheep were found dead while others were sort of writhing in pain and they had to be shot. And it's believed they got sick after eating this hay. Miss Dawson says that the hay was black and smelly when she was feeding it out, but she hoped that it would be okay.
Certainly everyone means well, and I don't want to take anything away from people who have donated, because they do mean well, and we're certainly grateful for the hay, but just a terrible thing that's happened. It's always hard to shoot sheep that you thought you were feeding.
And the Buyer Bale charity has recalled those affected bales. And the charity says it's the first problem that they've had with hundreds of thousands of donated bales that they've moved to drought-affected properties. They'll also compensate the Dawsons for their losses. The incident, though, has sort of reinforced calls from other drought charities that it's better to send money rather than sending feed.
Goods themselves, yes. Mm. Now, there's some mixed messages around about El Nino, but we were able to get the Bureau to clarify exactly what it is up to.
Well, of course, El Nino normally brings drier and warmer conditions to eastern Australia, but the last couple of weeks in eastern Australia have sort of defied that, with some really heavy rain and some spectacular storms moving through parts of the country. The Weather Bureau said this week that it was still expecting a strong El Nino pattern this summer, despite that recent rainfall, which also fell in some of the drought-stricken areas. That heavy rain ruined some grain crops. It also held up harvest in parts of South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, although it has been good news for livestock farmers who are starting to run out of feed, and they're now seeing some green shoots come through after the good rain. The Weather Bureau's Andrew Watkins says it's not unusual to get rain events during an El Nino.
My message to farmers would kind of be, draw a line under this event come sort of first quarter of next year, and then the most likely scenarios are average rainfall to possibly above average rainfall. The least likely is going back into another El Nino and strong dry conditions.
Well, it's good to hear there's an upside. There isn't an upside, however, to some of the revised bushfire forecasts.
While we did have that wet weather just the last couple of weeks, September and October were really dry and quite warm in parts of southeastern Australia, and that's worsened the threat of bushfire in both South Australia and Tasmania. The Bushfire and Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre, which each year publishes a forecast of what we can expect for the coming bushfire season, this week it actually updated that forecast to increase areas of both SA and Tassie that now face above average potential for fire. And with big areas of both those states, as well as Victoria and parts of New South Wales, facing that above average threat, the Cooperative Research Centre also predicts that there'll be a need for sort of backup resources, both aerial firefighting as well as, I guess, firefighters on the ground to help those states. Tasmania's Chief Fire Officer Gavin Freeman says it's likely that his state may need backup from other regions.
If it eventuates as forecast, we will be in for several months potentially of firefighting operations, and that means we need to turn our mind to how we'll manage fatigue of our people and whether we have to have sharpen up our arrangements for interstate.
Shortages of cattle thanks to drought in Queensland is starting to bite.
Two meat processors this week announced that they would shut down for longer periods over the Christmas break due to what's become an extreme shortage of cattle in Queensland. The Tees Australia Billawheeler plant will close from the end of November, and they'll stay shut for 7 weeks rather than the traditional 4-week break that they normally take over Christmas. And that news comes after earlier in the week processor JBS, one of the other big ones, announced that its abattoir at Stewart near Townsville would close a fortnight earlier than normal as well. Tom Maguire is the spokesman for Tees, and he said it's not yet clear whether the closures will be extended to the company's other Queensland abattoirs.
Really simply, we've either live exported or killed next year's cattle. The cattle simply aren't there to process. Our primary focus is we've got 450 people working at Billawheeler, and we're doing everything we can to help them manage through the extended shutdown.
Some disturbing news out of Victoria around stolen guns.
Yeah, police in Victoria say that two-thirds of the guns stolen in Victoria last year, and there are about 1,000 guns stolen in Victoria, so about 650 of those, are believed to have been taken from farms. And now this police force is advising farmers to store their guns either with a licensed gun owner or with a gun shop when they go on holidays to avoid them being stolen. Superintendent Craig Gillard of Victoria Police says that the stolen guns are finding their way into organised crime.
We've got our police pulling over vehicles every single day and finding long arms, so rifles, stolen from rural properties, cut down to shortened firearms so that criminals can secrete them either in their car or on their body and ply their drug trade or whatever trade they're doing with them. And it's really alarming, and it's a significant risk not only to our police members, but to the community.
A makeover for the very well-known Bullo River Station.
Bullo River Station is 450 kilometres west of Katherine, and many Australians might be familiar with this station, particularly if they're avid readers. It came to prominence in the 1990s when the late Sarah Henderson wrote several books which chronicled her time living there. It's both a tourism and a beef venture, and the new owner of this station is has announced plans to spend over $1 million to redevelop the property. Grant Farris from Darwin purchased the property recently, and he's upgrading yards, fences, roads and accommodation units to boost the property's production.
We're pushing roads all through the station so we can put more cattle yards in, portable yards. Mustering was a bit hard this year because there was just no access, so it took a long time. But no, we'll get there. We will give us 12 months and then you won't recognise the place.
Well, it's nice to know old places can still get a makeover.
That's right.
Thanks, Kath.
Thanks, Edwina.
Kath McAloon there with this week's Rural News. You can find all those stories and a whole lot more online, including some fairly spectacular photos, abc.net.au/rural.